Two men collide. Rival nations. It's a primitive clash, venting years of frustration. Guess what I'm trying to say is that if they can change, then you can change, and we can all change. It's time for Flats and Shanks.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time zone you're in. This is the Flats and Shanks weekly podcast in association with Flats and Shanks. Have we got any other sponsors?
Probably.
Harry's
Shaving.
Harry's Razor.
Have you noticed how clean these shaving shanks is? Oh, you can't speak yet. We haven't introduced you yet.
Look how young I am.
There's someone else here.
If you do want to be a sponsor and get your message across, tweet us.
We do it in a really professional way. It's really slick. All of our sponsor reads are really slick, and we hardly ever have to retake them more than 7 or 8 times because they're inappropriate.
And Flats has given the game away already, but we do have a guest live with us. It's male, female today.
Or, it is, yeah.
Or as I like to call it, MMF.
Yeah. He's already being a dick.
How are you, Dave? You all right?
I'm fine, yeah. You've ruined the surprise now, so I'm fine. Are you all right?
Yeah, good.
Right, excellent. There's a guest here. We've got a guest. We are in my house, work in progress, in Bath, and in the sitting room, along with Badger the French Bulldog, who's cleaning his toes at the moment, you might hear him, and Gus the Bull Terrier, who's sunbathing by the window.
Where's the cat?
Daisy the cat is downstairs in what we call the poo zone, because it's got like a green carpet that we haven't changed yet.
Thought she
and
might.
She thinks it's, she's really old, she thinks it's grass, so she is just hosing and crapping everywhere. It's like a daily cleanup job.
Thought she might run away as well, like the other dog.
Yeah, no, it's not the other dog, it's a cat.
Okay.
So it's like, need to change the carpet, but it's like, actually, I might just let her die before change the carpet, because she's just ruining everything. Anyway, we have got Danielle Waterman with us, aka Nolly. No one's ever called her Danielle. It's Nolly. We'll find out why in a minute. If you hear some scraping, that's the dog just moving beds. Well done, mate. Chill out. 82 caps for England, primarily at fullback and on the wing. Maybe filled in a few other positions along the way somewhere. She has played for Clifton before it became Bristol, then Bristol, Worcester, Henley, Northumbria, then Henley, and then Henley back to Bristol. Am I right? And then Bristol to Wasps. Am I right?
Wasps.
Nearly.
Nearly. You only told me 3 minutes ago. It's already gone.
Yeah, no, it's impressive.
Yeah.
How you doing? I'm at Wasps at the moment, so.
You're a Waspy.
Yeah. And you forgot to add World Cup winner.
A World Cup winner. I was coming to that.
Yeah, I knew you were.
Numerous, you know, Six Nations, building Grand slowly. Slams, everything. Yeah. See, when we have a Welsh guest on, Shanks does, he writes down a proper intro. He's really professional.
I don't, I just...
Whereas just before you came on, I was like, how many caps you got? Who you played for? That'll do. But I like it that way.
Loose.
Keeping it real.
Yeah. How are you?
I'm really well, thank you.
Good. Yeah, it's nice to have you here. Tell us why Nolly, first of all. I hope it's a really good story. But
it's
not. Great.
It's really boring. I should really make one up. My brother called me Danny Ollie when I was little. And I had a book that was Ollie Nolly Elephant. And I was a pretty stocky young lady. So I was Danny Ollie Nolly Elephant for a while, and then somehow my dad managed to just carve out everything and then just leave Nolly. Went off to primary school. I was over in New Zealand and went over to primary school, and mum said, this is Danielle, but we call her Nolly. And then they were like, we love it.
That's it.
Stuck.
Oh, nice. That's nice.
Yeah,
that'll do.
It's like, I got a mate, Reece Williams, used to play 15 and wing for Wales, and he's married to a lady called Liz. But they do everything together, so they're Riz. We've just combined that to one. I know he listens, that's why.
God. Should we start again?
That's it, done. I mean, there's some worse. There's Ryan Jones, Jughead, because of his ears that stick out.
We don't have to go through.
No, we don't. I'm just trying to redeem myself.
Oh, Pete. Oh, yeah. I had a few, but I don't want to go on about them.
Sonia from EastEnders. That's the best one, because he wore a long wig once to a Christmas party, and he looked exactly like Sonia.
Yeah, everyone's like Sonia. Then it's like, oh, Vin Diesel, Jason Statham,
aka Natalie Ace. Cassidy,
Ace,
yeah,
top snogger,
Peter Sutcliffe when he grows his beard.
Sexy man. I'm trying to think of really cool. Nothing. No good ones. No good ones. I'd like to have had one. I've always called, Shanks has always been Llama on my phone.
I'm not. I don't know why.
Because he walks funny. He also, you'll see it in a minute, when he gets really excited, he dribbles. I know they spit, they don't dribble, but sometimes when he's like, he'll laugh and there'll be a little trail of slobber down his jumper.
I actually, one of the rugby girls used to have llamas. Heather Fisher.
Oh, did she?
Yeah, she did.
How did that go?
Does she have a nickname?
Fisher.
Fisher.
Fishhook.
Fishhook.
Fisher.
Yeah, no.
Donald.
So I think she enjoyed having the llamas. One unfortunately died, passed away, and was attacked by her micro pig that turned into a normal pig.
Oh, so she bought a micro pig, but it was actually just a piglet.
Probably off someone down a pub.
Yeah. Heather's a little bit renowned for some quirky animal stories, but that sounds dodgy. But,
so hang on, her pig grew into a big pig and it killed her llama.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Isn't that
Was it a llama
film?
Or it might have been an alpaca? I can't
Same
remember.
Same thing, isn't it? And if you know the difference, we won't get on. Because you're a nerd.
You can feed people to pigs and they eat the whole body, so you can ever find them. That's what happened in Hannibal, the film.
Mm.
You know, one of the Hannibals, Silence mm-hmm. of the Lambs. Yeah, I'm sure one of the guys kept pigs and they used to feed their bodies to pigs.
Mate, right? There was this, so a couple of years ago I tried.
I knew we'd have a pig fact.
No, a pact.
Loves baths.
I used to,
he does.
I used to.
Never showers, he's always in the bath.
Shut the fuck. I wallow, I don't show. I like to take my time, that's all. I'm incredible. I'm the cleanest person in this room, by the way. So, where we used to live, I had a really big garden.
Badger's trying to clean himself.
Badger's cleaning
up to
himself.
Your standards.
He's a clean boy, he's all right.
Had
a big garden, and I really wanted to get pigs. And my wife wouldn't let us get pigs. You know, so I, in the end, bought a pig. My buddy kept pigs. Bod down at Vale House Kitchen, just outside Bath. A lovely spot. But Bod always has pigs every year and makes them into tasty meat and stuff. Gives them a lovely life. They live in his little orchard he's got there. Super cool. And for the last few years, so I wasn't allowed one in my garden. I've just bought an extra pig. Bod's bought an extra one. I've paid him back and he's done all the work, basically. But I've kind of, inverted commas, had a pig. Which ends
as a pet, yeah?
As a freezer filler. No.
Okay.
So you name him. Jethro, rhymes with death row. You know, Dave, keep it simple. So I've had a couple of pigs over the years, but never in the house. Anyway, I took my family to Bod's place to feed the pigs and to try and convince them that it's a great idea to get them in the garden. And
so you're going to get a pig to put in the garden so the kids could love and care for it and then one day just kill it and eat it.
Do your kids eat meat?
Yeah, but...
Right, well done.
They don't eat their pets.
No, well, I don't eat the dogs.
No, but you were going to eat a pig.
Yeah, but you rear it for food. You're going to eat it anyway, so why not give it a great life before you eat it?
Okay, fine.
Okay, so...
You animal, literally.
Literally. Anyway, got chatting to it, went there, and it was all going well, and it's like, do you know what? Pigs might not be a terrible idea. Saw my mate Dando, and he started telling me this story about a bloke up the road in Winsley outside Bath, an old man, and they say, never go in and feed your pigs on your own, because you might think they like you. They don't. They like their food. So he went in, this old man, and he tripped, slipped in the mud and banged his head, knocked himself out, ate him.
Really?
Yeah. Ate him.
How many were there? Just one? Two?
I'm not quite sure whether to laugh or not. Cause
if I'm going to go...
It's quite a brutal story.
It wouldn't have hurt because he was knocked out. So if I'm going to go, I'm quite happy.
Be honest with you, I'm waiting for a punchline.
I know.
Yeah.
Ate him and then...
He got swine flu.
They were doing tweed poos for a month. Was that, there was no punchline there?
Oh, no.
But pigs eat people, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, we got.
So this pig just tore apart this llama, did it?
Yes. You've lost me. It was the world's longest story. So basically a man just went in, got knocked out and then
He was knocked out and you think the pigs would take care of him, didn't they? Ate him.
So did you get pigs in the end?
No.
Okay.
I still reckon the scope here in city.
Heather Fisher keeps pigs and llamas and they eat each other.
Basically. And she now keeps them separately?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the right thing to do.
Yeah. No, she doesn't have any of them now.
Oh,
she's
no.
given George away.
Okay.
Yeah, and she has a dog.
Gave it to the butchers, did she?
Yeah.
What? What? Any other nicknames in the team that are funny?
Not really.
Is there any such thing as a funny nickname?
I've got a mate called Bubs.
That's not funny.
Quite big.
We used to call Adam Jones.
Like, I haven't finished yet.
Oh.
They call him Bubs because he's like Bubbles De Vere off Little Britain.
Oh, is that why?
Call me Bubbles, darling. Everybody does.
Champagne for everybody. Yeah. You find yourself alone with a beautiful woman, Mr. Sutton. Is that why he's called Bubs? I never knew that. I remember we used to call Adam Jones the big Welsh second row. He used to get a sweaty upper lip, so everyone called him Sweaty Upper Lip.
Or Columbo.
He had a bonk eye. Or call him Bonk Eye or Columbo. Just one more thing, my wife.
Yeah, what would be the nickname apart from like an abbreviated surname like Shanks or Flats?
I'm just trying to think.
The There isn't one.
No.
Yeah, I don't think there is many. We've got a girl that plays for Wasps called Salad, but I actually don't know why she's called Salad. And that when it was funny,
she's vegetarian.
So we had the first... Well, no, I mean, she... I really don't know why, but when we played the first ever game on Sky, Johnny Hammond came down and taken his notes, and I was stood on the side and watching training, and he said,
"Standard.
Any nicknames?" Yeah, I put that old card.
Roll you up for the big
it was a little
days,
bit cold.
It?
Yeah, it was roll a little bit cold weekend. That evening, and I said, "Oh, she's but." Alice, she's actually called Salad, and on the commentary he called her Lettuce. apart from that, Karen Andrews, our old fly half for England, was called Wench, but I'm not quite sure why.
Don't know why, but I like it.
Yeah.
I like
really.
It.
It's funny, isn't
not
it, when you start calling people by their nicknames in games as well.
And you don't know.
That's when the nickname's stuck.
Yeah.
It's probably a really good one that I've completely forgotten. But
yeah. But anyway, why rugby then? So you two brothers, did you say?
Yeah, two big brothers.
And
delightful
dad. And
pair.
Dad, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. My dad, who gets mentioned in every single interview I ever do.
But you are just daughter of Jim.
I basically am. And I think we even were at a dinner and you said, I was going up on stage and I was getting introduced and Mr. Flatman said he wasn't bothered about me, but it was more important that my dad was actually there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Big Jim played 850,000 games for Bath at fullback. It was great because we used to do this thing at Bath where you put up, it was like by your peg, it was like the three guys who played the most games ever in your position, you know, and you can't equal that anymore because it's like Gareth Chilcott, 400 and something games. It's like you can't do that anymore. It doesn't work that way.
I met him the other day.
Oh, did you?
Oh my God.
What a guy.
It was absolutely incredible. My dad never really speaks highly of anybody, including myself. And apart from Coochie.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, and yeah.
He's meant to be hilarious.
Brilliant.
I've never heard him, but apparently he's one of the best after dinner.
Oh, he was absolutely speakers. Cracking. Yeah.
Because he's hardcore, Bristol, hard nut, rough as you like, but so warm. Yeah. You could put him anywhere in front of a group of people to speak anywhere.
So my dad was saying that kind of rugby was a bit of his saviour. Coochie was telling me that when his second game for Bath, they'd gone up to Leicester and the guys were getting absolutely smashed. And there was this one second row, I don't know who his name was, but was doing all the damage. And so my dad brought him over and said, as captain, and said, Coochie, look, you know, I heard you're a bit of a tough man. This guy's ruining our game. You need to sort him out. He said, okay, all right then, Jim. Anyway, next line out comes down and Amor absolutely nails him. Referee pulls him over to one side and says, you know, it's not happening. You're going to go. And my dad came over and said, oh, you know, as he did, because he'd been around for 9 million games, he sweet talked the referee and said, oh, I'm really sorry. It's only his second game. He's a really rough lad.
He's not right up top.
Yeah, no, he's all right. You know, I'll have a word with him. He said, all right then, Jim, you take him to one side. And apparently my dad took him to one side and pretended to tell him off.
Yeah.
But at the same time was going, absolutely cracking. Yeah. I'm supposed to be telling you off. But, and Coochie, not being the brightest, was like, but Jim, I'm really confused. What's going on? I wasn't quite sure what was going on. But so I think my dad had a lot. Well, used his rough nature to his advantage.
Yeah, and I think there's this David Trick, who used to play in the same era as your dad, I think, with Cooch, and is president of Bath now. Great bloke.
Amazing bloke.
Well, one of the best public speakers out there, just genius. I've seen him just dominate rooms in a lovely way.
But loves baggy jeans and boat shoes.
Oh, yeah, don't we all?
Yeah, well, not me, mate.
But he tells this great story about when they were playing against whoever it was. I think it might have been Leicester, actually, or one of the Welsh teams. And they came over, and Cooch is obviously the hard man, so he was running around trying to leather people. And they had a plan to try and get Cooch out of the game. So Shanks is removing my dog. You can pick him up by the scruff of the neck, mate. He's like a handbag. Stick him on his bed. That's it. Lay down, you little gremlin-looking weirdo. That's it. Just push it. Don't kick him back in there, mate.
I'm not.
You push him with your foot. It's fine.
I think he's a little bit of a flirt, old badger.
He is, yeah. He loves people. He's addicted. But so there's this, it kicks off and someone just lands an absolutely sweet shot on Cooch and just puts him down on his back. Lights out. You know, these days you'd be gone for an HIA and you'd have a few weeks off. But then he was like flat on his back, comes to, squirt water in his face. And the ref comes over and he says something to the ref and he's like, do you see who it was? And he's like, I see who it was. Yeah, we'll deal with it. Don't worry. He said, ref, do not send him off. I love that. But presumably, going back to the original question, your dad was he an inspiration for you? Was he any part of why you started playing rugby?
Oh, massively. He was my coach as a mini. So at four and five, I would run around at the club. All three of the Watermans can all sidestep, and I think it's definitely tribute to.
So your brothers Dad. Played as well?
Yeah, both my brothers play. Sam, my oldest, is still playing. Well, he has a run out for Western Supermare thirds, I think. I'm not quite sure, every now and again. Talk's the best game of the family.
Yeah. Do you have to give him a lot of tips?
No. He basically should have been a referee.
Okay.
Yeah. yeah. Absolute rugby nors, loves the laws.
Yeah.
He's a great guy, but not
very good.
Yeah.
Well, he always says that he's the fourth best fullback in the family, and my mum is third. So.
yeah. When he hits the line slows down.
Yeah. Your other brother plays too. Yeah.
He did. He hasn't played for a while, but I think out of the three of us, he was definitely the most talented.
So
you just like to party.
Yeah, don't we all?
Bloody too much sometimes. So you were 5 years old, were you, when you first started playing?
Yes.
5 years old?
Yeah.
Jeepers. And then...
Bearing in mind, I was named after a little elephant. I was a pretty stacked young lady.
Were you?
So I could hold my own. And also, I'd learned... growing up tackling my big brothers, so when I got to tackling boys my own age, they were easy targets.
Leathering them.
So when how long were you playing with boys for? How long was it mixed for?
Until 12. So I spent 4 years from 5 to 9 in New Zealand and came back and played for Minehead and was down there until 12.
New Zealand?
Yeah, lived over in Palmerston North. Oh, okay. Army. Played for Palmerston North High School Old Boys.
Where is that? I don't...
It's about an hour and a half north of Wellington.
Okay, yeah.
Not the best part of New Zealand.
No?
pretty below average, actually. But why, no, it's all right. It's okay.
Why were you there? Obviously, your family lived
my
there.
My mum's partner at the time had a job at Massey University. So we all just went over and loved it. Stayed there for 4 years. But my dad and the rest of my family were in England, so we came back. I rugby was obviously a massive influence over there for me, and I knew all the All Blacks. And I think the only person I've ever been starstruck by from a rugby player's perspective was Sean Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, say us too, then. I thought you were going to say Tom Shanklin for a minute.
I met him at... Excuse me.
You can cough. I cough non-stop. It's one of the running themes of our pod. Podcasts make me cough. Don't know why.
I can't remember what I'm saying. But anyway, yeah.
Sean Fitzpatrick you saw.
Yeah.
And I was starstruck.
Yeah, absolutely starstruck by him. But I think it's because just growing up, he was the captain and
we
legend.
Still get the same amongst players. I mean, Richard Hill is always...
Yeah, like you're
always on edge with Richard Hill.
But around. Shanks always bursts into tears whenever he sees Hilly, which is weird because we played together for years, but he's always in tears and... You're always buying Hilly extra drinks and
mumbling my words, can't get him out.
But like he shook with Hilly's hand, and I saw Hilly shake his hand at a thing last week, and Hilly like wiped his hand on his trouser afterwards because Shank's really sweaty palms because he was nervous about Hilly.
I licked mine. So you're 12 years old when you get in. This is what it's like. You're 12 years old when you start playing. With an all-girls team. Is that right?
No, there was no girls rugby at the time.
It's a lot different now, isn't it?
Oh, hugely. I actually made my own team. I managed to convince my friends.
What do you call yourselves?
Minehead Barbarians Girls. I don't know.
Yeah, great.
Jubilee 15.
We had two fixtures, a home and away
game,
and which was absolutely brilliant. And the last time I played in the Minehead strip. They've got under 13s, under 15s, under 18s, and a women's team.
Jesus, different.
And I went down there in 2014 when we'd won the World Cup, and we'd managed to organise with the BBC to do this some footage of us taking the actual World Cup there and surprising the girls. And it was there on a Wednesday night, and it was like mini rugby on a Sunday, that both pitches were full of young people running around. And it wasn't until you actually concentrated that you realised that it was just all girls. I mean, it's amazing.
It's really, completely really different. I got two girls, so it's flats. Yours don't play rugby yet, do they?
No.
One's hockey, isn't she?
Yeah.
I mean, mine just getting into karate.
Awesome.
So yeah, moving
very
on from
aggressive
karate,
kid.
Moving from karate, and I made him watch Karate Kid yesterday. So,
oh yeah, LaRusso.
We've been learning how to wash cars and paint fences.
Is that why you got him to watch it?
Yeah, and the crane. Because, you know, obviously if the crane's done correctly, it's impossible to defend. So I'm trying to teach them that.
That's a really good point.
But yeah.
Are you living so a karate dream through your girls?
Yes. Yeah. So small steps for them, because I do want them to play, because it is amazing, you know, how fit, you know, rugby keeps you. It's a game of evasion, isn't it? When you're young, it's tag. So it's really good for them. But
it's also a team sport.
I think that's been the best. That's the reason why I loved it. Like some of my closest friends, even now, that I could, I'm sure that I could ring up with any problems and they would help me out, are lads that I played mini rugby with. And, you know, I don't know, all of the friends.
So
you
stayed in contact with all those?
Yeah, I love going back to Minehead and going up the club and having a beer with you. What's brilliant, actually, sorry.
That's all right.
Is when we won the World Cup, they presented me with a club tie, and then they also gave me a honorary membership, like vice president's membership for life. And the best bit is that they said that I will never have to buy a drink at the club again.
Oh, wow. Absolutely. How good is that?
Yeah. However, I haven't obviously made the most of it. And I think they forget that I'm actually a waterman. And as soon as I finish, I'll be,
enjoying it. Probably kick the arse out of that.
Properly.
It's like a Nando's black card, that is. It's like,
I had a card before it was a black card. It was like a little bit of paper so I could eat free at Nando's Mermaid Quay in Cardiff.
But the thing is,
it was just a card that you got stamped.
Yeah, yeah. loyalty card.
No one has one of them, right?
Free half chicken after as well. 9 chickens, yeah. I remember these Nando's black cards were like all anybody wanted for a while, and then someone said something on the radio about them. It was one of the lads on, might have been on Brian Moore's show or something. And it's like, why does everyone go on about these things? It's like, Nando's is 20 quid. And you go there like once every few weeks. It's not even saving you that much money. I was like, that's such a good point. They said, it's not like having a sponsored mortgage, is it? I was like, oh my God, yeah.
Yeah, because you can use it to get your mates food.
Yeah, but
as well.
Then I heard that...
Buy your friendship.
Yeah,
I heard one of the lads at Bath had a black card. And I won't say who it was because it might not be true. But he took 27 of the lads in. 27 of the women and kicked the arse out of it, and they were like, but no more.
Yeah.
You're taking the mickey now.
Abusing
like they're in there every night, and he giving other lads his card to go in there.
Well, he's gone past the 23, hasn't he? If he'd just taken the match day squad, he would have been all right.
Team lunch, guys. Team, thanks for supporting the team.
Yeah, but you need the extra players, only in case someone goes down injured.
The travellers.
Only 24.
Yeah.
Although I actually was the 24th player in the autumn, and first time it's happened to me, in our squad actually for a while, one of the girls went down in the warm-up, ended up 4 minutes before kickoff being told I was starting, and played 80 minutes. So,
well, that was
it. Moral of the story, if you're 24th player,
concentrate. So how old were you, and what club were you at for your first England cap?
So I was 18, mm-hmm. and I was playing my rugby at Clifton, ladies. And yeah, just before my A-levels, it was brilliant because it was the last game of the Six Nations. It was
you
over in Ireland.
You got capped before you did your A-levels?
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
Didn't you?
I did too, yeah, same. I still haven't done them. Gap year.
So...
Who are you against?
Ireland over and played at Tomham Park. The old ground though. So
how did you find out?
I had a phone call from the head coach, Jeff Richards, Australian, possibly one of the scariest guys. Saying that, I've met him recently and he's the like smiliest man ever. But when he was a head coach, he was, he was very intimidating.
It's crazy, isn't it? You get on better with coaches once you stop playing for them.
Yeah.
Because you can have a better relationship. You'll have a professional relationship. You can have a social relationship.
Although saying that, I get on really well with my current coach, Giselle Mather. She's brilliant.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's Daisy the cat.
Yeah.
World's noisiest cat.
It's like Bristol Zoo here, honestly.
In Bath.
Only not as much fun. Yeah, the cat's noisy, by the way. That's going to happen. But she howls.
She okay?
Yeah, that's a good noise. Like, it sounds like she's suffering. She's not.
So did you win the game? Do you remember?
Yeah, we did. Yeah. It was only 7 minutes.
They all count.
What, a minute?
Yeah, all the caps count. We had this thing at Sarri's.
I thought you were talking about 7 minutes counting.
Oh, no. That also counts.
That's twice.
That's endurance. Tom. But I remember we had this guy, a coach at Sarri's, who was like, you know, I had this idea of in the programme, and it was genuinely my idea. Not that it's a brilliant idea, but it just was mine. So I was like, in the programme, you should list how many appearances everyone's made next to their name, right? So, you know, whether it was probably 100 appearances or whatever. it's like, that's a good idea. Everyone does it now, but I originally thought of that, yeah, because I'm a genius. So anyway, did that, and he goes, and he was like, I reckon we shouldn't count as an appearance unless it's you've been on for 20 minutes. I was like, no, no, no. What if you come on for 10 minutes to score a hat-trick and win the cup? Doesn't count as an appearance. It has to count. Anyway, moral of the story was...
They all count.
They all count.
So you played 7 minutes, your first cap. Did you still have to do fitness at the end? Because
yeah, don't
no,
track
what
it.
Was brilliant was... Because it was the last game of the Six Nations. We'd just regained the Grand Slam.
Yep.
And so we ended up having an absolutely mad party.
Initiation,
in Limerick.
I hope.
Maybe. A couple of songs. You know what? I actually can't remember my song because we were in the function for so long and they'd punished me so much.
You smashed.
Yeah. I can't remember. But it was brilliant because my mum and stepdad were over and they came partying with us. And at one point, my mum was at the bar downing pints of Smirnoff Ice and doing shots with the players. And I was dancing with my stepdad. And one of the girls, one of the big second rows, came over, TJ, Tall Jenny, there we go.
Tall Jenny,
Tall
that's
Jenny.
Good, that's good, that's good.
Came over and was like, are you all right, Holly?
Jenny.
That's the best one.
I think it's because there must have been another Jenny in there.
Tall Jenny, yeah.
Normal Jenny, Tall Jenny. And she came over and said, are you all right, Nolly? And I was like, yeah, I'm fine. And that she thought that this random 50-something-year-old man was trying it on with this 18-year-old player, but it was my stepdad. So, good night. And then the next day, Jeff came over and said, just so you know, Nolly, and I was absolutely green. And he said, just so you know, we don't party like that after every international.
We do now.
Which I then thanked him for, because obviously I wasn't capable of
don't want to party like that.
Yeah, no, I was
when you look back to how, and this sounds like worse than it is, but how you used to behave, how we rugby types used to behave. People often say the game's changed, that sort of stuff. But like, you presumably were operating then without the fear of social media. And the lads and the ladies now, it's not about they're so big time they can't go out. They can go out. But whatever they do, there is a very strong chance somebody will take a photograph of it and somebody will recognise them or something, because you guys are on the telly all the time now and all that. So it's the same for you now. So do you feel like it's, you know, if someone said to you, I bet, you know, it's just like Shanks and I got paid to play rugby from the day we left school. So very, very lucky. Originally, we got paid nothing and then we got paid all right towards the end, whatever. So, all right, Daze, just ignore the cat, everyone at home. Hello, Daisy. All right, come on in. Come on then. Odd cat, really odd cat. She's just been for a poo downstairs in the poo zone. There she is. Really odd. I'm allergic to cats. Daisy.
You have to shut that up.
Not that her. Shut her up. Everyone's fine. No one minds cats, you horrible bastard. So anyway, what are we talking about? Before Daisy
social
came
media.
In. Yeah, but if someone said to us, I'll bet you wish you played now because the players get paid more. They probably do get paid a bit more now. But I wouldn't swap when I played, because we played when rugby had just gone pro, and we were never amateur, but we played in a great time where for the first half of our careers, we were all but getting paid to play rugby, were all but invisible in London. I mean, it was bloody amazing, or Cardiff, right? So presumably would you swap the first decade of your career and delay it for 10 years because you get more money and more acclaim and all that sort of stuff? Or are you appreciative of the first half of your career because you would basically did what you wanted?
Got the question in the end there.
I know.
Jeez. The build up, that was one hell of a question. I definitely wouldn't swap my career, and I'm not getting paid now anyway. So 10 years ago, it's exactly the same.
Oh, exactly the same. Yeah.
I've been really fortunate having gone, I played 11 years amateur, 3 years professional. We've now not contracted. Hopefully things will change in the near future.
Now that you're on this podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. All about exposure.
Top. Yeah.
Straight to the top.
But I think, I mean, social media, it's not just about, it can be used so positively, I think. But at the same time, it's how people interpret photographs and take things at the wrong time. And you might not even be drinking. Funnily, I can't remember the group of girls, but we were on the way back from an England training session and they were absolutely shattered. And they went to Burger King because there was a shorter queue there than there was at Starbucks for a coffee.
Yeah.
And then someone took a photograph and tweeted it saying, oh, England women's nutrition isn't great. So like, they were actually going for a coffee. Well, that's what they say. There was a couple of forwards that were in the queue, the other queue. But I think it's...
A McFlurry.
I think it's about using it positively. I don't know what I may. What am I? I'm not even answering the question anymore.
You are. No, you wouldn't swap your first 10 years and you wouldn't start again now if you had the choice. Or would you?
My body's too broken to start again.
Yeah. If you go back to being 18, you'd start again now. See, I look back and think, no way would I want to do all that again now. It was too hard.
Yeah.
Don't care if you got a few more quid now. It was way too hard. Wouldn't want to go through that again.
It's just
look
really
what you've become
different.
As well.
I know. Yeah. It's honest.
I think I absolutely loved the start of my career. Like, I loved it, yeah. And I wouldn't change it. But what the opportunities that the girls have now and where the women's game is amazing. And the stadiums they're playing in, the amount of crowd, the crowds that we're getting, the exposure that they've got, is so brilliant. Yeah. But what comes with that is the fact that they are now known and people are there to potentially judge them or to make comment and they will have to, you know, behave accordingly. I would say that I've always been a fantastic professional.
Oh God, yeah.
There's far more six packs now in the game. You know, when you look at when we started, it was only like me and Thomas Cassin, yeah, that had one, wasn't it?
Me.
Yeah, but I didn't. But now when you look at the players and you look how their bodies change.
So training's improved, nutrition's improved, but also they know
they're far leaner.
Instagram's
and
improved.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Insta bodies.
100%.
Nice question here from Tamara Taylor on Twitter, and she wants to know who's
Tamara Taylor.
I think we know Tamara Taylor, don't we?
Yeah.
Just 115 caps for England. Yeah.
Who's been your best roommate so far?
She wants you to say
she's
her.
Setting me up, isn't she?
Yeah. And why? Because I want to know why.
I roomed with Tamara over the autumn and we had 2 weeks where, yeah, good laugh. I was a bit of a feeder, actually.
Are you?
Our room became the snack room, I think.
Tuck shop.
Yeah, Rocky came in quite a bit as well.
Yeah.
She's
a prop. She's got to keep the weight on, you see. You can't afford to lose any weight in the front row, can you?
No, not now. I think I heard you guys last week saying that you're 120 kilos. Is that right?
Just a bit over, but yeah, having lost.
So one of the props in the World Cup for New Zealand was 130 kilos.
Jeepers.
And they now want the female. So for England, there's quite a few girls in the high 90s.
Yeah.
And they're looking at the front row to be over 100 kilos.
Do you reckon I could take her? I wonder if that 130 kilo girl,
she can step
as
well, so I think.
But do you reckon one-on-one scrum time I could take her?
Well, she's only 19, so I think it'd be a bit harsh.
Yeah, I'll take her out, okay? I want you to know that, okay?
You're not very strong at the
shout
moment.
Out to
you're not very
New
strong
Zealand
at the
rugby.
Moment,
no. I'm not very strong at the moment. No, I'm getting back. By the way, we weren't going to mention this on the pod, but since you brought it up, Shanks, we've all been to the gym today, haven't we, guys, independently?
Yeah.
Haven't we?
Yes.
Leg session for me.
Is it legs? Yes.
Legs today.
What were you doing in there?
I did some isometric leg press.
Oh,
yeah, five seconds on, single leg, swap over. So six each side, minute
off.
Oh,
wow, I'd never, ever do five that.
Reps. Minging.
Yeah, way too hard. I did Omen cleans. What that is, don't you?
Yeah.
Reverse curls.
E-mom, you mean?
What did I say?
Omen.
Yeah.
E-mom.
Yeah, E-mon.
You love E-mom cleans.
Every minute on the minute. Just the three cleans. Like, not very heavy, but...
Just 180.
Just really make loads of noise.
I don't know, I've done around. Recently. Cause I...
Did you wear lifters?
No. Oh. No, no, no.
You've got to wear slammers, boy.
No. It's only, it wasn't much on the bar.
Okay.
So...
I do love it when people wear lifters and they do upper body.
I know.
It's amazing, isn't
that
it?
That is my favourite.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I love that. You've got the slammers on for chin-ups.
Oh, actually, saw someone on the treadmill the other day in lifters.
Oh, my days.
They were walking.
We used to call them slammers.
Our
lifters,
old kit man,
slammers.
Fat Greg at Bath, he nicked a pair of Adidas. When they first came out, we first started wearing them, he nicked a pair of silver Adidas ones. And he was in RSVP, which is now Slug and Lettuce. He was in RSVP in his slammers. Kit man. Never done a day's training in his life. Thought these looked tight.
I was in the shower after, right? And it was like the wash. There was a guy in there. And I don't really know him. We see people in the change rooms, you just nod at them. And I remember him asking me a while ago if I wanted any Mac 3 blades. I said, yeah, go on then. So he sold me like a big pack and it was like 20 quid. He asked me if I wanted a handbag today.
Yes, I thought it was a joke. It's not a joke.
He goes, I've got a lovely handbag.
I thought
it was
a joke because I thought you were sponsored by Harry's.
I got
Oh, yeah. And he used them and they were crap, weren't they?
Yeah, they were rubbish.
Is that why your face was bleeding that day?
But yeah, he asked if I wanted a handbag today. 120 quid, do you have 60 quid? Fossil in the back of the car.
Jeez, they're out there, these people. Do you know what? I go to CrossFit in Bath, which when I go, it's rebranded CrossFat. I'm the worst in there, all right, but I go regularly. But the only class the only class I can go to are 7 a.m. but I've got to take the kids to school, so I can't do that very often, or 10:30, the unemployed slot. But like some day doesn't work, like today it didn't work because Shanko was coming over and that sort of, and you're coming over, so it didn't work. So I realised that all these days, whenever there's an excuse not to go to the gym, I don't go because I'm inherently lazy and fat. So I've joined a commercial gym in town. I've joined Fitness First in Bath because Ollie Barkley had the idea, and he's like, whenever the time zones don't, the time classes don't fit, I just go in there for half an hour and it's fine. So I've been in there. There are some serious trainers in there. There are some, I'm sure they're all good people. I haven't spent time in a commercial gym for, I mean, 15 years.
It's interesting, right?
Oh my God. It is just absolute Bell Central. There are some really, lots of people in there who aren't. It is Bell Central. It is just horrendous.
Bit the of amount. A fashion show as well, isn't it? Like, you're blatantly wearing stuff which you think you look good at, which is not
the
girl, fit.
The girls in their makeup. I know.
They wear more makeup in the gym than I would ever, even when I do TV.
Yeah, they are plastered in it. And it's like, some of these people are in great nick and they're lifting great and they're running great. Everything's great. They're well done. But
Where do you sit? What's your gym attire?
Okay, so I tell you today, I did squats today, light squats, but tweed, I still wore my slammers, okay. Nike, Romaleos, threes. But I had like knee length, like baggy shorts.
I thought you were going to say light Griselda.
No, I literally
got rage and hatred for
you.
Oh, God, no.
Baggy shorts, like the opposite of Quadzillas. Baggy shorts, I had a baggy t-shirt and a hoodie, which I kept
what
on for the whole session.
What colours did you go for?
Well, I had my black slammers. I had a white ankle sock, Nike. I had a black short, Nike. I had a blue t-shirt, Nike, and a grey Nike hoodie with my Nike kit bag and my Nike weights belt.
Other brands are available though, aren't they?
They're just not as good.
Yeah. Well,
They're not.
Under Armour.
That's good.
Decent.
That's good. So yeah, you can easily say, well, why would I wear something skin tight? Because I've got a minging rig, which is absolutely a fair observation. If I had a really, really tidy rig and I had a six pack, I would not dress like a knob in the gym, and I would not grunt in front of mirrors.
So there was a guy in the gym this morning wearing a thermal, like a base layer as a top.
His only layer.
Yeah.
I don't understand layer because it's meant to be underneath.
Keep you warm.
Yeah.
It's not so you can see the ripples and the pectorals.
I also just
laterus dorsal.
That's a maximus. That's a fin on a dolphin, mate.
Maximus decimus meruleus muscle.
But it's these people who are gym champions, and I'm not looking down on people that haven't played elite sport, because most people haven't, and who cares? I don't care that I have, but it's like, why are you so happy with yourself? It's just like, do you know what? Just train and be in good nick, so that you can train and be in good nick. It's like you're literally champ. You are the Fitness First Bath champion.
Do you reckon we can
go and use it somewhere.
We need the listeners. If you are listening, I hope you are. I'm sure
they
you are.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you wouldn't hear this. But can you send some photos in if you see anyone in the gym which wear an idiotic?
You know when you.
Attire.
You know,
what I play also, Chateau. That's a good game in the gym. So find the worst tattoo on someone.
Chateau.
Honestly, so guy massively pumped up doing guns, and he had a Tigger on his arm.
Genius.
Quality.
Genius. Yeah.
I like the old Maori ones on the arms.
Yeah, on the non-Maori guy.
Call them Super Maoris.
Yeah.
Here he is, a Super Maori.
On the white guy from Luton. Here he is, Super Maori. Yeah, straight in there.
Chris
Cadman. Who weighs 52 kilos.
Chris Cadman on Twitter wants to know, what's the most idiotic thing you ever heard from an armchair expert as an international athlete?
You actually got quite a good question on Twitter.
Yeah.
Didn't you?
That was from Kerry at Keza Paza.
But you could probably answer that question.
Who's deleted it now? Who asked you, how does rugby and training get in the way of ironing?
Yeah, does ironing get in the way of your
interestingly,
training?
Interestingly, I did let him know that I managed to get most other life skills in that us women are supposed to do. So cooking, cleaning. Actually, to be fair, I don't actually do much of the cooking.
Really? Lazy?
Cleaning.
I don't either, because I'm lazy.
When I arrived, you had a salad prepared for you.
I know.
Look nice though.
It was nice actually.
Yeah, a little bit archaic. I mean, maybe if that joke was made about 30 years ago, I would have laughed. But it's just a bit.
So what's the most idiotic thing you've heard from? Have you heard from an armchair expert or?
Do you get?
What's?
Do you find that the to on that, but do you find that the way...
Oh, I've got one actually.
Oh,
got
brilliant.
One. Someone asked me, I was sat doing an interview with a Welsh man, unfortunately. Q&A in front of lots of people. He actually said Danny Capriani. So
brilliant.
So he's on board with the game.
Brilliant.
But he said to me, if I had children, which I don't have children yet, but if I have children and I had a girl, would I like her to play rugby? And I was like,
oh, definitely, no way.
Yeah, no, I've had a shit life. I hate rugby. It's been awful. Nothing that I've done has been fun.
Yeah.
I haven't made any friends. I've not travelled the world. Rugby hasn't given me all lots of life skills. Yes, that's probably one of a silly question, maybe.
Yeah. Do you find that the level of sort of ignorance and laziness of thought around the women's game is decreasing and diluting all the time? Are there still people out there that are kind of a bit 50 years ago about it, but do you find that number reducing, or is it kind of the same as it always was in terms of how you're received?
I think people are far more open to watching and supporting female sport now, but I think it's because they've got more access to it, and people, when they watch it, they realise that actually it's a decent game. I think the people that do judge and do make comment either haven't watched the game, haven't engaged with female players, or don't want to. So I'm like, well, if you don't, then
fine.
You're not very current, and actually you're not really promoting or celebrating what's successful, especially in this country at the moment. The way that female team sports are doing is awesome, so why not get behind it and, you know, promote some amazing role models.
So you won the World Cup. We'll have to push on a bit because we've got loads to talk about on this pod.
Oh, gotcha.
2004, you beat Canada in a final. Did you score a try?
I did, yeah. Maggie, I think I've never screamed for the ball. There's a running joke between Maggie and I. Maggie Alfonsi was a world-class player.
Dominator.
Absolutely world-class. And there was a running joke that whenever I'd make a break, she'd always be on my... You know, she'd run the fantastic sport line. She'd always be on my shoulder there for offload or pop. And she'd either score or take the ball on. Couple of times she made the line break and I was there and she didn't pass it. A World Cup final, she gets the ball in her hands and is running, and it's a 2-on-1 with the winger. And I think there was 18,000-20,000 people there. I screamed louder than anyone. So I was like, she's got an MBE. And I was like, you can't have an MBE, be as known as you are, and score in a World Cup final. You've got to give me some love. So yeah, she passed it and I scored. So
what were the celebrations like after that?
Oh,
huge. Were your family out watching?
Yeah, no, they were all there. My brothers were absolutely wasted. It was brilliant. So after the game, I went up into the stands and saw my brother, saw my big brother, and he was so drunk. He tried dragging me over one of those plastic chairs, which is a delight. And dribbled a little bit on my shoulder and told me how brilliant it was. And it was really, really nice. I had my best friend there with her 4 kids, which was really cool because they got to see the medal and hold the medal and be part of it all.
Super cool.
And then on the way home, so we had the function. Few teams had actually left by the time we got up there, which I thought was a little bit rude.
So we had
the function. And then on the way home, there was the supporters pub that was on a roundabout, and we'd driven past it on the way to the ground, so we knew that where it was. And on the way back, we managed to convince the bus driver to stop, and so we got off the bus to probably about 1500 people, but like some friends and family, maybe not that many, but all of everybody's closest friends and family were there, chanting Swing Low as we got off the bus with the World Cup and our medals and stuff. So we had a big party, but then we also got to share it with the people that are closest to us. So that was really cool.
Super cool.
And then we went back to the hotel and carried on partying, and I ate so many salt and vinegar crisps, I gave myself ulcers.
Yeah,
you get up all
strong.
I've done that on the M5 before, a few times, way up to cough. Yeah, same thing. You just can't walk past those McCoys, can you? You can't walk past them.
In France, I think they've got a different ingredient in
there's
there.
There's no health and safety. Brutal. They go as much salt and as much vinegar as they want.
And they love ham crisps.
It's like power of the strongest.
Yeah.
And then we have a competition. Go over there for Six Nations.
Do you know where your medal is now?
I do. It's next to my bed.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. I a couple of the girls have had them framed and you know, in safe places. But hello.
Daisy's back. She likes you, Nolly.
Hey, Daisy.
The only way to make her quiet.
Nearly said something really rude and realised I was on a podcast.
The only way to make her quiet is to stroke her. So good luck. I'm allergic to cats, so.
You can use your feet. You've got socks on.
Yeah, no, I used my hand before, so my eyes are getting itchy now. Just to shut her up for the pod, but that's the sacrifices we make. But your medal's next to your bed.
Yeah, I do quite a bit of work in schools. I engage with the young people, and I love taking my medal and getting them to actually see it. And
So is that what you do now? You do.
I do that a little bit. I do. So after the World Cup in 2017, we lost our contracts in the 15s game. But I decided that if I wanted to carry on playing internationally, I wouldn't be able to go back to full time work, and I wasn't quite sure what I would do because I was 3 years professional. I self-employed and do part-time work in schools. I do some media and a bit of work with businesses and stuff. It's all really fun and really
diverse.
And it's kept me entertained. I've loved it.
No week's the same.
Yeah.
But that losing those contracts after the World Cup was just so, it felt so bizarre to me. So they contracted the 15s girls all the way up to the World Cup. And oh, by the way, before we talk about that, I did the TV stuff for ITV, the punditry and
you
stuff.
You did a really good job.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah. You sound surprised.
All the girls were raving about you, actually.
You see? It's the haircut. But I really enjoyed it. But I got a load of tweet, people not abusing me, but having a bit of a pop at me on Twitter for calling you girls or ladies instead of women or something. And my reply was always the same. I'll call them whatever I want. Like, I call rugby players the boys. I call the All Blacks the boys. If I want to, so I can call them anything. And actually, I was sitting with Maggie and I was like, Maggie, am I cocking this up? And she's like, no, you're all right, mate. Call them what you like. They don't care. I'm like, is that right? Or not? Or have I
paused?
Of course. Girls?
No, I don't think anyone's that precious to think that you're offending us by calling us girls. I would say, I would shout, come on, girls, when we're playing.
That's the same. That's the same
thing. I can't
stop feeling
saying
a bit
guys.
Posh, I might say.
Yeah.
Like, we're
let's go, ladies. Give it a bit of American tang.
Yeah, ladies. Yeah, I was saying guys as
I'd
well.
I'd say, like, if we're
come on, guys.
Going for food after, I'd say, come on, guys, let's go.
We're not. Mm.
But I call my kids guys.
Yeah. They're very aggressive.
I think it's how people, how you say a lot of things, isn't it? So if you if you say it in a derogatory way, then it will be taken that way. If you say it in a, like, nice, friendly, you're a nice, friendly chap, aren't you?
I am, friendly, cuddly guy. Just a friendly guy, loves a hug. That's all I am.
Just don't like stroking your cat.
No, I try not to stroke Daisy. I love Daisy, but I'm allergic to cats. So I'm holding my left hand far away from me now. I'm allergies are pathetic, and I think some of them are made, a lot of them are made up, but this one is real.
Are you allergic to biological
paying
washing
for
powder?
Drinks, do you say?
No, but we went to Mike Tyndall's house recently to do this thing, and his racehorse, whatever, was in the dude, whatever it's called, was in its stable in Tyndall's garden. So I'm stroking the horse, and I like horses. I love animals, but the whole time I'm stroking it, I'm thinking, last time I stroked a horse was when I took my girl's pony riding with Kim Oliver, the old
Badger,
England centre, great friend of mine, Kimbo
She's
Slice.
She's bonkers.
She's a looney tune. I love her. I adore her.
And so one of my best mates in rugby.
Oh yeah, she's brilliant. I absolutely love her. I lent her my old knackered old dog car to drive to London, and it broke down and she was stranded with her mum. Let's get the train home. Got crushed about 3 weeks ago, written off. Anyway, but she took us to see her pony, whatever, with her mum. We went riding, took the girls riding around this village outside Bath a little while ago, and I was properly allergic to her horses. So we're at Tinsy's place stroking this horse, doing this video. The dog's snorting, sorry. And I was like, and the whole time I'm like, oh, this is great video. Can we hurry up? Because it's not, my eyes are about to explode. It's pathetic.
He like starts itching his eyes then, so it hurts his eyes more.
It's so uncool. Being allergic to stuff.
You like that with
so
spicy
pathetic.
Food though, aren't you? You know,
I'm better with spicy food now.
Oh, are
I
you?
Do mediums at Nandini's now.
Okay.
Can you eat Thai?
Yeah.
Because I find Thai is easier to eat, because I don't like, I'm not allergic to it, but it's easier to eat hotter stuff in Thai than it is in
You're like
India.
The guy from Long Came Polly, aren't you? Like, eating spicy food just affects you too much.
Yeah.
Korma?
Yeah. I'm getting better.
Korma's all right, isn't it?
I've literally tried to toughen myself up this morning. Hey, on that, by the way, my little girl on the way to school this morning, there were 6-year-olds in the front seat, which is illegal.
To sports club?
Sports club. She's in the front seat.
Isn't the school like 200 metres away?
Yeah, but I had to go straight from school to a meeting, so I didn't have time to walk and then walk back.
To the gym, mate.
It's not 200 metres. It's not 200 metres.
Oh, sorry, 150.
He's got an electric bike as well.
I was going
on
somewhere.
Why don't you become one of those dads that lets your daughter scoot to school and then you scoot home? It's downhill.
Did that. Snapped her scooter.
Yeah, you can't. And scooters are a nightmare to hold as well. When you're, well, it is for me because I'm a bit taller than Dave, but he could probably walk along wheeling it on the floor. I've got a hold. It's just awkward.
You could, if you got them an adult framed one.
Yeah, do you know what, Nolly? Did that. Got these really big ones. They could hardly ride. they were really big. They were like teenagers. But I mean, I'm 123.5 kilos now, but I was about 140 then. So I, unfortunately, that was beyond the limit.
Do you still rollerblade with the three dogs?
In your active wear.
One of them is a cat, you twat. It's a cat. It's not a dog.
I keep looking at that footstool, thinking that's furry footstool. A different animal.
The furry armchair and a furry footstool. Yeah. But anyway, my little girl on the way up, my 8-year-old was saying, I'm worried that everyone, we've got packed lunches and not everyone's going to have them and I'm going to be humiliated. Right, oh no, we've got packed lunches, no one else has got them. So she's learnt the word humiliated and she's just trying to find ways to use it. And my little 6-year-old said, oh, man up, will you, Peanut? I was like, hey, you can't say that anymore. You can't say that, it's toughen up. You can say toughen up.
Oh, I didn't even pick up on
you can't say man up anymore.
You know where they got it from, don't you? Bloody dad. How much rugby did you watch on the weekend?
Oh, Tommy.
Your nose.
You pig.
Well, we were at the Anglo-Welsh, weren't we, with Bath. The Exeter.
Yeah, Exeter trashed them really, didn't they?
Dominated them, didn't they?
Yep.
Conditions weren't great at Gloucester Mine, were they?
But as far as I'm aware, the conditions were the same for both teams, as far as I'm aware. Exeter was just way better.
Well, it depends, because if the wind changed or the rain changed at half time, it could have been different for...
True that. I remember playing at Newcastle once, and the wind was horrendous, and we chose to play into the wind for the first half you were playing, boy. And like second half, it was like... brutal, and you couldn't kick the ball at all. You had to pick and go. The whole, we were broken at half time. It's like, right, we got the wind. We came out, and I was a prop, so I never noticed the wind. Even I noticed it. It had literally changed direction. We played into the wind for 80 minutes at Newcastle, and it ended up being the best story anyone's ever told.
But obviously, the conditions were crap. So, but
yeah, they were.
But if you were far so down in Minehead as a mini, going completely off tangent.
We love it.
There's the pitch is slanted, but as minis, you go up and down. You go widthways.
Yeah, yeah.
You go. Do you go uphill in the first half when you're fresh?
Yeah.
Downhill when you're, or do you go down when you're fresh? You get loads of points. What would you do?
Different for you because you're an 80-minute player, right? I was a 50-minute player because I was really, really explosive.
I think
really
it's only about 20 for kids.
But whatever the version is, right? I was always a start. I always came off before the end. So
finisher.
No, came off before the end.
Oh right.
So I was starter, but I would always want to play with the wind in the first half so I could look better in the first half, and the lads can struggle when I've gone off.
Pitches aren't, there's not much of a slope in any pitches now, but obviously wind and rain could play a factor. I always reckon take the advantage first off because you don't know if it's going to stay.
I agree. That's my point. I concur.
Yeah.
Do you?
And also it sets the game as a... that's a great game.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A best trick, well, the clear nail varnish.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's cheating, isn't it?
No. It's...
Only if you get caught.
It's, yeah. No, it's Steve Smith. Innovative.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
But Exeter obviously played the conditions better. Innard was really good at hooker, wasn't he? They scored with a front really peel early doors. They had a chance to kick 3 points. They didn't. Exeter, they went straight for the corner, scored a try.
Joe Simmons good again.
Salmon was good.
Yeah.
Jumping everywhere.
Tommy. Tommy.
But they just look better. They're so dangerous, Exeter, when they get like 5-10 metres out of the pick and go. They take their time. They don't make that many errors.
I liked as well afterwards. Well, all the other lads in the squad, the Chiefs squad, who weren't playing, so a lot of the first team guys, they made a tunnel for the lads to come off, and they were all smashed. they were all on the piss. We're not grassing them up here. They were out in public on camera, so they were. I don't know if they were all smashed. They were all pissed, and they were all properly up for it. And we were running to run through the tunnel and getting spanked and trying to give you like flick you in the balls, that sort of stuff. So I dodge around the front, and Luke Kerendicki was, "Oi, get yourself in the tunnel! Don't be such arrogant bastard! Get yourself in the tunnel!" You went through the tunnel, didn't you?
No, I didn't. I lied.
Oh, you lied. Are you trying to talk it up? You're talking it up.
Joe Simmons is really good at 10 as well.
Yeah,
he's
very good.
He's won loads this season, and. He seems like the natural progressor now for Garth Stinson, doesn't he?
Yeah, yeah. He's a man. He'll be playing for England one of these days. But then super classy.
So then on the Saturday then, oh no, on Friday as well, we had the Scarlets La Rochelle. 29-17 to the Scarlets.
Mm. It took a while to come alive, that one, though, I thought.
Yeah. I tell you who played really well, which I think he's having second thoughts about going to Munster, is Tadhg Byrne.
What a player.
Yeah.
How good was he at defending the driving lineouts towards the end of the game?
Yeah, he was a beast.
He was good. But it was, the Scots defence was amazing towards the end. But La Rochelle gave away so many crap penalties, non-stop. Like when the referee's saying let go of the ball, you just got to let go of it. And sometimes you don't know whether they hear that because they're French, but you'd have some sort of idea of what a referee's trying to say no matter what language you're in.
Yeah.
They would have played enough English teams to know. But they were pretty poor. Didn't help losing Bottier fairly early doors.
How much of the men's stuff do you watch, Nolly?
I do try and watch as much as possible, but I was playing this weekend. So we were playing up in Waterloo, fixture. Nice long trip up to Liverpool on Friday. So I didn't catch up on, and the problem is when you're playing, I do all my own analysis, so the analysis of our own games, of the opposition and that type of thing. So to then come home and watch 17 hours of men's rugby.
Oh, jeez.
I watched a little bit of the highlights, but I did see Leinster outplay Saris.
Yeah, they were great.
I enjoyed that game, and I do try and watch, as I say, but it's difficult as a current player.
Yeah, of course it is. And also, no one watches as much rugby as we watch when they're current players. So when you retire, you've got your own stuff to do. When you retire, if you're still involved in the game, we got buddies that we will play with who haven't watched the game in years because you're over it and it was so intense, you're happy to step away. But when you're
involved, do you enjoy watching it?
I love it. I'm not a massive fan always of
salads
or cardiovascular exercise. I'm not a massive fan of sitting in the stands watching games. I did it at Tigers the other week and I loved it. But it doesn't interest me particularly. I like watching games in quiet rooms on the TV where I can see replays. Ideally,
on really
my own.
You can really hone in on the scrums.
And I don't miss things.
No, it is. You get to see replays. You get to see different angles. But the Scarlets do look like they could be potential.
They've got to go to
Champions Cup
winners.
It's just shortage of wingers. That's the only thing they're lacking. But it's great to see them doing so well. We've watched them all season. We've been down there twice, haven't we? And it's just seems a really good vibe there. But yeah, the Leinster Saracens. Didn't expect Leinster to outpower Saracens, mind.
Didn't you?
No, not at all.
I think Saris were just predictable. And I mean,
they always are, though.
Every time I've played any Irish players or Irish teams, they tackle and they don't give up. And so, I don't know, they either ran the forwards in and were expected, Saris ran the forwards in and was expecting to get over gain line and they didn't, or they played out the black. Paid out the back and no one put any pace on to actually punish them. I think
bit
the
like
only
England, Nolly, this season actually.
It was a little bit like that. Like Mako Vinopola was knocking the ball on, so was Jackson Ray.
He played what, 72 minutes or something crazy?
Yeah.
And I think whoever was commentating said like actually normally he did a great job, but normally Billy does 50% of it.
Yeah. Mako's effort in that game was quite unbelievable, actually. He was incredible for Saris, I thought. But you're right, Shanks, they got outpowered. But because I watched Exeter Leinster in the pool stages at Sandy Park, and Exeter were properly at it, looking powerful, full strength, and Leinster did the same then. And there's that game where I was like, okay, this only, what it was like 17-10 or something like that. It wasn't even an epic, but I was like, that is a serious amount of power and organisation.
Levy, how good was Levy? How good was Fardy? See Levy's try, you know, where nine picks up or a winger picks up, hits the next person closer, right? They puts it back inside.
Yeah,
yeah. But
so they did that with two forwards, which you don't really expect, do you? You know, if you got a nine or a back, the base of that ruck,
I just
alarm bells would ring slightly.
I just look at that and think bad defence.
Yeah, it is bad defence, but when you see players in certain positions, that's when you switch on a little bit more.
Yeah.
But when you see in a back row just hitting a runner next to him, you switch off a little bit.
But one of the first things that you're taught in breakdown defence is your guard and bodyguard don't move.
Yeah.
And actually,
but
they
how many
didn't.
Times do they
so
move, though?
I can't remember the players, you guys might know, but the guard was in and the guy came round to go. Like he should have gone round past bodyguard, but he didn't. He slotted in, and then there was confusion. And I don't know. I personally thought it was bad ruck defence rather than, I mean, a great play.
Yeah.
And they identified that actually the Saris defence were scrambling.
But it only works when teams are under pressure, because that's when that's when you get tired. That's when
panic.
You forget your role, don't you? As
you
well.
Do, and you switch off a little bit.
But if you've got, I don't know, you guys, the systems you played in, but when I was playing, it was like right. Guard being the first defender next to the right, who can almost put his or her inside hand on the ruck, so you're that close. Then you've got the bodyguard, the second defender. So if the nine goes, or anyone picks and goes and comes a little bit wider, so if someone runs straight into you when you're at guard, you tackle them. If it's just a straight pick and go, if they move a little bit wider like Leinster did, the guard who is next to the breakdown leaves them. No matter how tempting they are, you leave them go and you trust the person outside you to tackle them. As soon as you follow them out and move into the second defender's channel, you leave a hole on the inside for what we used to call the Gregan ball, because George Gregan kind of paint. Yeah, everyone did, yeah. Put it back inside. So as soon as that one scoots, it's because he hasn't been communicated with, or he hasn't looked and seen someone outside him, and he hasn't trusted the system. So as soon as you're at guard and you see someone move in front of you, leave them, just leave them go in case someone comes on the inside. So that's when you...
That's my point about like having a nine. When the nine's at the base, you're switched on way more, because a nine's going to make more breaks, whilst, you know, when you've got a back row there, you potentially would switch off.
Interestingly, Wigglesworth was... So if you've got a nine that likes to also... Because they probably identified it, if they got in behind the breakdown, it was a run into the fullback, because he goes into the front line.
He was flying up in the line, wasn't he?
So therefore, you lose that little sweeping defence as well.
But it's just well called off the... You know, well called move off the cuff.
You know, the more I watch Leinster, the more I think... I know it's easy to say they've just got brilliant players, but loads of these players... were new once. All of these players were new once, and a lot of them are they haven't just signed rock stars. Someone like Levy, someone like Ryan. I just think they've got loads of talented players, like every country has, major rugby playing nation. They just look really well coached.
Especially when Leinster were in their prime. When you look at like the Shane Horgan, their Darcy, their O'Driscoll, Heaslip, all these players are gone, but they've still got quality through. And they make good signings, like James Lowe. Was quality
great
at the
signing.
Weekend.
Yeah,
gets outside. Scott Fardy, gets outside signing. Liam Williams early doors. Yeah. They score a try off it. Gets put back inside. I think too. Might have been
Matey Boy
Ringrose.
But you know they signed Brad Thorne. Before that they had Rocky Elsom.
Or Levy.
You've got Scott Fardy. You know these are kind of just hand picked foreign signings that really add something to their squads. But they just look really well coached. They look
Nathaniel's
so well
been brilliant
prepared.
For him. Yeah, for the last sort of 8-10 years, how long he's been there.
But you know, you got to get players like Issa Nathewa, and you got to improve them and retain them, that sort of stuff. Like, I mean, you know, we were playing at Bath and we had someone different position from Nathewa, but always reminds me of him because we had a guy called Joe Maddock who played on the wing for Bath.
Pubed,
and he played for a good few years, scored a load of tries. But apart from maybe it wasn't a natural centre, but he was one of those guys that was really durable, could have played almost anywhere, and in the end it left him on the wing, and in the end he got offered a bit more money and left. And I remember being in a senior players meeting like, this is the guy you've got to fight for. He's got another 5 years of playing. These are the guys you fight to keep and you pay to keep, not just the rock stars. And you get someone like Nathewa. Is he famous back home?
No,
I don't know.
Not really.
Maybe,
probably
maybe not.
Not.
But he's absolutely vital. Without him, they're not winning European
he's
Cups.
He's famous in Dublin, mate.
Yeah.
So Saracens now have got to go over to the Aviva Stadium to play Leinster in their semi-final in a few weeks' time. So epic.
Not Saracens.
Scarlets. I knew it began with an S.
Well done.
Samsonite.
Yeah. I was way off.
Yeah. So the Munster-Toulon game, sorry.
Yeah, it was pretty punchy, wasn't it?
It was punchy. Trindouk had a fairly decent game by his standards.
Yeah, but then he missed touch, and then Conway...
He did miss touch,
we,
but...
We tuned in at that moment.
Oh, did you?
As he caught the ball and scored.
So whose fault is that? Now, it's sort of... He should have hit touch, yes, and had Conway not caught it
kick
so
chase.
Cleanly.
Kick chase.
Where on earth is
kick chase terror?
Tuisova. I think he thinks the ball's going to go out on the full, so he's come in to stop the quick line out, like all wingers do, just wave their hands as much as they can.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
But it hasn't gone out. Well, it has gone out. He's caught it over the line. A great catch. And it just the hole just opens up. And then he ends up stepping... Fekitoa.
Yeah. Who was electric when he came on. But you.
That's people just switching off though, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is. Completely.
It's
just assuming the ball's going to go out.
And also you need to, on kick chase, you need to defend the ball first.
But
I don't know, but
also it shows that if you're an isolated, if you're isolated when you chase, you're so easy to pick off, whether it's a pass, a step, or whatever.
I mean, you must dream of situations like that with bitty, uncommitted kick chases. Perfect for you. Seriously, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good fun.
Yeah,
but the decision's made for you. You don't have to make a decision because there's nothing there in front of him, so he just goes. He's got crazy legs when he runs, mind.
He has, yeah. People talk about fine margins in elite sport, whatever. That is literally, over the course of almost an hour and a half, about an hour and a half of rugby in the end, that is one person not concentrating properly for one kick.
Yeah.
And you've got, and you're out of Europe.
What about the ref? What about the guys chasing?
Yeah, it's not
no,
just...
Well, I mean, that's what I mean. The kick chase is what I mean.
Yeah.
I thought you meant the one person kicking.
No, oh, maybe it's two people then, but I'm talking about the kick chase. Because the thing is, you can fix a bad kick with a great kick chase.
Of course you can.
But if you're lazy or you switch off,
but that's just that ball does seconds. Have to go into touch because it's only him and Tuiso.
But how Tranduk is that? He's got a shed load of caps because he's a genius 1 minute, but he has got a howler. He's got a Robbie Fowler in him every half of rugby. He's the new Poitrineau. He's got so much talent in him, but he's got an absolute shocker in him every half an hour.
How would you, if you were his coach, how would you try and get rid of that?
It's too late, I think, but it's probably wouldn't. And I would probably start weighing up whether his talent is enough that you start altering the way you compose your squad to cover him. So you start thinking more about your sevens and twelves and people that can cover him.
They've got Marnonu at 12.
Yeah.
He's a decent ball player.
He's all right. He goes all right.
Yeah.
But it's different because you've got a player like him, you know, like the Poitrineau is a great one. You can't argue with what he contributed to Toulouse over the years. I mean, really mega player. But we used to play against Toulouse and it was like they got Clement Poitrineau at fullback and we were like, oh my God, he's amazing. It's like, no. Every chance we get, run at him and kick the ball to him because he'll drop one in three or four. When he doesn't drop them, he could tear us to bits, but he will drop some.
But you must see that as well in games when you've got players that you can see are starting to lose it and they're starting to creak, and that's when you need to take the pressure off them as best they can. But
I think there's a responsibility of the players around him.
Yeah.
You know, we've got some fiery characters in our back row. Marley Packer.
I love Marley Packer. I love watching
absolutely
her play.
Absolutely brilliant players, but play on the edge.
Yeah.
And especially in club rugby. And I personally think it's the responsibility of their teammates just to know when that tipping point is coming. Because that type of player... they're the player that they are because of how they play on the edge, and so you need to be able to make sure. But every now and again, it dips over, and you take the rough with the smooth.
Do you know who's Do you know who's close to the edge?
Who?
Bono. Anyway, so.
Oh, Christ.
What emoji face would you do for that? That joke.
The middle finger up. It's not a face. I've heard it 48 times.
The eye roll one.
Exactly the same thing.
But what a line from Chris Ashton as well to get on the end of Bastereau's break.
Can I shock you?
It was one of the best support lines I've seen.
Tom, Chris Ashton is the best English winger.
He's playing 15 as well at the moment.
Yeah, but he's the best. You don't reckon, Ollie? Do you reckon?
She hates
him. I just wasn't a fan when he was in an England shirt. I think he is clearly a skillful player, but he was too one-dimensional when he was, and defensively, it wasn't the sparky type of player that I like. I'm not quite sure England have found who they want as their wingers. They've been chopping and changing the boys over a little bit. Not for me, but...
you will not find a better support runner, mind.
It might have changed me.
No matter what he's like defensively or whatever, his lines...
I think you
follow him play.
Yeah,
there's no one better, I don't think.
And you would know more than me, Nolly, about that. But I've watched him play a lot in France as well since he went. And okay, he's got a load of assists from the best assist giver in the world. But he's scored a load of tries, and he just looks electric. And his support lines are fantastic. His defence, I think, has really improved. I still reckon when everyone's fit, I'd struggle to leave out Jack Noel. He doesn't seem like an automatic starter for Eddie Jones, but I'd struggle to leave out Jack Noel.
He was a lion last year.
I think he's brilliant.
Yeah, I think he's just everywhere. To play against, I reckon, of all the English wingers, he's the worst to play against because he offers a repeated threat. So Watson is quicker, May is quicker. So if you give him space, they'll kill you. But I think Jack Noel offers threat on the wing, in the centre of the field. He offers threat at the breakdown. He's a threat everywhere because he's powerful and he's robust and he's busy. I'd much rather play against... you know, a thoroughbred winger than him, you know, because he's a nightmare.
I really rate Jack. I think he's fantastic, and the spaces and the gaps that he gets through all of the defenders he beats, whether it is footwork pace, but it's quite often physicality.
Yeah,
and that
It's a hard shape to tackle.
It's punishing for a defensive unit to have your edge player work that hard to make sure they're on the field. I think he's brilliant.
He's also a top guy as well.
So. Great guy, isn't he?
Yeah, great guy from the Southwest. So
He's been on the pod and he wasn't a British Lion. And after the pod, he's now become British Lion.
We create people. Yeah. Lives,
so okay. what have I got to look forward to?
You are going to be a media sensation, Nolly.
Probably win the lottery.
It's funny. Yeah. Buy your ticket. It's funny that because... This is kind of an interesting one. It's nothing to do with rugby, but we've got a minute, haven't we?
Not that long, though.
Not that long, I know. But Michelle, Tom's agent and my agent, she left the big company a couple of years ago and she looks after me and Tommy now. And she is very, very protective over the lifestyle she now has, which is she does a good amount of work, but she has loads of time for her kids and whatever. And as you know, Nolly, this is not news to you. I've been trying... She doesn't want any more clients... And I've been trying to persuade her for a long time to take on one extra client, which was you, as you know.
He did.
And her whole point was she needs someone who is working full time to go and generate, start building and build something, not from scratch, but from further towards scratch than say Shanks and I are, because we've been doing this sort of stuff for a while. So she's like, Shanks and you kind of tick over and we generate new ideas. But if there are no new ideas for a month, there's still stuff ticking over. And she was like, I just can't justify taking someone on and not doing it properly. But you've now got a different agent, haven't you? So you're with Ben now. Ben Pilgrim's a great guy. But do you see yourself doing a lot more of this stuff? Because obviously, with me having tried to get Michelle to make you her third client, and she just said, I'll just feel too guilty, won't be able to do the work. But do you feel like...
Minutes up.
This is kind of the new world you're looking to. Not necessarily podcast, but the media world. You think you'd enjoy all that?
Well, yeah, you're not allowed to bring a podcast out. we will find you.
Two guys and a girl. How about that? I'll just pick my guys.
Just different
strategically.
Guys.
I think that there's a real opportunity for more females to be in the media, just like because there's more female sport being exposed, but also it's a different voice coming from a different angle.
Yeah.
I've experienced different things within my career and, you know, built up my rugby knowledge over a number of years. I'd like to do more media. I definitely think that there's more opportunities. Maggie's doing a great job in terms of flying the flag for all the work that she's doing. Watch this space.
There's room for more. There is room for more. And I put this, I tweeted a reply to something yesterday, whatever it was, or this morning. And it was about, you know, at some point there will be female directors of rugby in Premiership rugby. And it's funny because it's an absolute no-brainer.
Why is it
for
funny?
Me. It's funny. It's hilarious. But it's no-brainer because if you think the directors of rugby aren't, you know, some of them coach, most of them don't. They're running a business effectively. It's man management.
Most of them are coaches though. They've coached and they become director of rugby through coaching. Yeah. Mostly.
I think it's a real... it's interesting actually because I went... But
you're right. They pick a coaching team around them.
Yeah.
To do it.
They are pushing for more females to get into coaching. When I was working at Hartbury College and running the girls rugby there, I went and did my level 3 coaching and I was the only other female in the whole course that I saw was a lady serving tea. But, you know, times are changing. There are more women. But actually, I kind of put myself a little bit... It was my own fault. I put myself to the bottom of the pile in terms of my coaching ability and I came out of the course probably one of the top. So actually I think females need to be more confident in the knowledge that they've got and also, you know, what I've done as a player. I need to back that a little bit. But at the same time, we also need opportunities to showcase the fact that we can coach and that I can, that type of thing. So it's the same with the media. You just have to have the opportunities. If you take them and people like you, then great. And it shouldn't matter whether you're a female or a male.
Yeah, but just like I'll be standing on the TV alongside Lowell. And Lowell's won a World Cup and got 85 caps. And I haven't. I've done got neither of those things. But after a while, it doesn't matter. You can either do the job well or you can't. And I think it's fine. I just think it's a matter of time before someone takes that step.
They're not listening to you for what you've done. They're listening to you for your comments on the game.
Yeah. Whereas with you, they're just listening to you because you're...
Just look at me.
Handsome chap.
Sex sells,
why is he
not
so strange?
Actually, interesting. Growing up, my brothers... I remember my mum say... Well, I didn't remember. My mum tells me the story that she used to say, you know, come on, be nice. She is your younger sister. And my brothers both said, if she wants to play, she's got to be good enough.
Yeah.
And actually, that's the kind of mindset that is true, really. If you're good enough, why... Why are you not getting involved? Why are you not taking the opportunities, putting your hand up to say, come on, have a look at what I can do?
It's funny though, do you know, last night...
Why is it funny?
So I... Shut the fuck up, such a twat.
Why is it interesting?
I said to my girls at bedtime, I said, we've got someone coming tomorrow who plays rugby for England, the England women's team. And they're like, wow, yeah. Does she look like Kim? Oh, she doesn't, like, because when Kim came to my house, Kim Oliver, they were like, my little girl was about four then, or three or four. And she's like, are you a boy or a girl to Kim? Because Kim's like clearly a girl, but she was dressed in her coaching gear from Bath. And she was like, you know, the little girl was tiny then. So Kim's not big, is she? But she's probably a bit bigger than you, whatever. But what do you, and then she's like, a ponytail. And she's like, she goes, I'm a girl. Look, I've got a ponytail. It's like, some boys have ponytails. You're like, all right, anyway, they love Kim. But it would have been awkward if it wasn't Kim. It was really funny. But I showed them a video of you, that sort of don't mess with Nolly, kind of that Nolly video, you know. And I showed them some videos of you playing last night in bed. And it's so funny because they are encouraged.
Why?
We got tree. Oh, shut up. They got tree. They can smash around and do what they want. We go out and go. They are not allowed to judge people on what they look like. None of that stuff. We never tell them they're beautiful before we tell them they're clever or they're funny or anything like that. They watch you. And the first thing both of them said was, she's so pretty. Isn't she pretty? Oh. Look at her smile. Isn't she beautiful? She's beautiful
such
as well.
A charmer,
look at that one.
Isn't he?
Yeah, but it's the first thing they say. It's so funny. And maybe we've accidentally...
He didn't say it. His kids have said it.
Yeah, I know. I said, no, when you meet her, she looks like me with a wig. No. I said, she is beautiful, but that's not the point.
What's the white dog?
That's Gus, yeah. not so good. But it's like, it's funny how they're little girls and that's the first thing they notice is, isn't she pretty? Isn't she beautiful? Oh, look at that one. She's beautiful as well. You know, it's so funny. And maybe there's something in that. Maybe it's us that's done it to them. I don't know.
But do you think that that's because they have, in their minds, they think that they know what a rugby player would look like or should look like. And actually seeing us play. And I think that that's what's been brilliant about the increased media coverage that the game has got in terms of, you know, when I remember coming back from Rio and everyone was saying how unbelievably athletic all of the rugby players were and how skillful and kind of
You skipped over that. How was Rio?
Amazing. Yeah. You know what? It was actually brilliant to be part of a multi-sport games.
Yeah.
Loved. It's one of our pastimes was guess the sport of all the different nations.
Dave's always wanted to go to Olympics just for the village to see what it's like.
The Athlete Village is one of the most incredible. Inspiring places. Well, I mean, it was brilliant because we were sat there thinking, oh God, I didn't even know the country that they were from, like their tracksuits, oh, the sport. But then you realise that actually all of those people in those tracksuits are achieving a dream and becoming an Olympian, no matter where they come, whether they medal or not. And which is sounds a bit cheesy, but genuinely.
Have you got the Olympic rings tattooed?
I haven't.
Are you going? Come on, Nolly.
Are you going to?
I haven't.
You're going
possibly. I think for me, it wasn't. I think if you have only ever dreamed of being an Olympian, if you then do it, it's kind of like, I've done it. And, you know, I only knew in 2009 that I could potentially be an Olympian. And I thought I'd be too old at 31 when we found out we were like all adding up how old we'd be.
Yeah.
But I think it's been part of my journey. So I might get it as part of like a rugby.
Still the biggest sporting event there is in the world, isn't it?
Apart from
the World Cup maybe.
Yeah.
The girls are going off
against Gloucester at the Rec. So apart from that.
The girls are going off for the Commonwealth Games today.
Yes.
Oh, they're
tonight today. Yeah. And again, just amazing. First time ever women's rugby's been in it.
Who's the most famous person you either met or had a photo with in Rio?
I actually didn't get any photographs with anyone, which is silly, really. But I just
too
wanted
cool,
to. No, I actually didn't take my phone with me. I wanted to just take it all in and enjoy it.
Who did you see then?
Well, I thought I was super famous because we were sat in dinner and I knew that the Jamaicans were behind us because they all set kind of their tracksuits, obviously. So
the rugby team now? Or just the athletes?
Just the athletes. Okay, I don't think Jamaica had a rugby team.
I'm not sure.
No, they didn't.
Okay.
But they'd be pretty good, actually, to be fair.
Fast.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, loads of people started to walk towards us. And it was because Usain Bolt had literally been sat on the chair with his back to me. And all the girls had seen and thought it was hilarious that I had no idea. So they were like chatting in about, oh, it'd be great to see Usain Bolt and all that stuff. So I was like, not seen him yet.
Yeah. I'm not bothered, actually. I don't care if he comes
in. John Regis. Oh, so you had dinner.
Christy.
Yeah. You had dinner literally. Sat next to Usain Bolt and he didn't
With him, pretty much.
You basically went out for dinner with Usain Bolt.
You went on a break.
What was amazing was the Team GB block you'd go in the morning, and you'd like, we were on the 15th floor, and so we'd pick, you know, you'd come down for breakfast at whatever time, and you'd pick up various athletes all the way down. It like, the honestly, all the people, and no matter who you were, Team GB made you feel just as special as Andy Murray, Jess Ennis, all of the superstars. So
nice.
Yeah, it was really
what
cool.
What facilities like there? Were they good? Were the rooms nice? Was the food good?
Well, we were in a flat that was kind of like going on holiday with your mates to Mallorca.
Yeah.
But they'd, DFS had kind of given us the sofas and stuff. So yeah, it was all branded up. They just thought about all the little details.
Well, there was a sale on, weren't there, at DFS? There's never not been one, actually. What a thing to have done. What a thing to have done. Do you...
I never understand why they don't have any DFS sofas in the UK. I just can't get my head around that. Why have you got to order them from Italy? It'll take like 6 weeks. Why can't you just have a warehouse full of sofas? I like that sofa.
Well, it's right. It's a business.
We can deliver that tomorrow. Brilliant.
It's upsetting, isn't it?
That's why you got to go to Costco. Because it's there. You can take it.
Sofas?
Everything. They've got the most random stuff there. Sofas, soda streams.
Soda streams.
Barbecues. Fridges,
if you could bring back one thing from your childhood, like food-wise, what would it be?
Oh, I was going to say. I was going to say Big Daddy wrestling on a Saturday afternoon. One food thing.
They're all still available now, really. I used to love drumsticks. Remember those little sweets?
Yeah.
Toffee crisp.
And milk toffee bottles. Crisp. Probably why I'm so white. You know, like the.
Yeah.
I used to have. You know, when you get milk delivered, no one really has milk delivered. Some do, obviously, but. Mostly
I saw one. I saw a milk truck the other day.
Milk float, they're called.
I remember at uni they came on they came on to deliver, and the boys, we just got back, absolutely a little bit tipsy from a night out, and they nicked the milk float, but realised that obviously it wouldn't go very fast.
Yeah.
The milkman was basically walking next to them.
Like a golf buggy fast, isn't it? Electric. I'd have the blue top milk, you know, they've got a little bit of cream in the top.
Yeah, lush.
That. Scooping that on lush. My finger.
Yeah. Do you remember a tight head prop? You won't remember his name.
And beef eaters, the original beef eaters that used to be good.
Did you ever go to Fatty Arbuckles?
No.
Fatty Arbuckles in Taunton. My dad took me when I was age 11, and they had a belly buster meal, and they did a 24-ounce T-bone steak, and you had basically a three-course meal. My dad was like, my oldest brother Sam was like, I want to do it. So I was like, well, I'll do it. Yeah. And I was the youngest ever person to complete the belly buster meal, and they gave me a T-shirt and took a Polaroid picture of me. You had a litre of ice cream at the end.
I was going to say,
do you have like chunky little monkey in a T-shirt? I beat the belly buster.
Coke ice cream float to go with it.
Oh, yeah.
Old school. There was
a Kiwi prop called.
You'd eat him. You'd bring him back
from Beer Itz, and I forget your milk float thing. You nicked the milk float. I remember being out in Beer Itz with Bolsh and Tins, and Andy Beattie came over, and he was out. Cameron, what was his name? I can't believe I've forgotten his name. Anyway, great guy. And we were struggling to get home, struggling to get a taxi, and he's like, "Don't worry, boys. I'll go and get a taxi now." And he came around the corner, and he had nicked. A digger, nicked a digger from a building site, and we were like, that's not cool, we're actually not going to get on that, because
sensible.
It was completely deserted, the place, but he'd had a pint, you know, so we were like, right, we're not going to do that. So anyway, we just like walked home, whatever it was, and the next day heard Bolsh wake up, and he's like, oh my god, look out the window. We looked out, and there's this massive yellow digger parked out the front of the. He'd driven it all the way through Beer Itz. He'd just driven it home. Unbelievable. So anyway, it's like the milk float, but a digger. Yeah.
He was going to drive alongside.
No, he didn't. No, it was like he actually brought it home and just parked it by the door. And in the morning, we were like, "Cam, what have you done there?" He goes, "Oh shit, better drop that back." He went out and just drove it home. Anyway, drove it back.
I was trying to Google who it was, but I couldn't find out. But just
what's his name?
Just anyway. Quickly finishing off on the Champions Cup. Claremont.
Shanks lost at home. To make it.
Claremont lost at home to Racing. Didn't expect that, especially at home. But did anyone see the pass Dan Carter threw?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dan Carter came on and tore it up.
He had a massive impact straight away. But I know momentum plays a big part now. It's because obviously you're travelling at a certain speed. So the ball's going at a certain speed anyway. Where he passes that ball to where it lands... I think it's forward pass, personally.
But it's how it leaves his hands, isn't it?
I just think that...
It is how he leaves his hands. But
I think you can get too bogged down with technology. At the end of the day, rugby is rugby, and if the ball you start, you pass. Okay. But if you pass the ball before a line and it gets caught after the line, then
my point is he wasn't running very fast. You know, if you're running fast, then the ball's travelling for fast.
See, to me, that's fast. It's relative, yeah. Isn't it?
Like me walking to the car's fast.
Flat out, yeah, I'm lying down fast.
But his interview after the game was interesting.
Yeah.
When he said, I think he was kind of a bit like
50-50, wasn't he? Yeah. But Telly Thomas, we spoke about Telly Thomas in the Six Nations. We put him in our Six Nations sort of dream team. It's not even been announced or...
No, but when it gets announced, it's going to have a massive impact on
but
the
he
world.
Was in there after two games, and he looked so good on
he's
the wing.
He's so sharp.
He is.
I like Remy Grosso as well on the wing for Claremont. He's a big old unit.
Yeah, so there we are.
Interesting game that. But Claremont ended up getting sort of soundly beaten in the end, which is a shame because Nick Abandonen plays for them. And I want Nick Abandonen to win the European Cup, but he's not going to this year, is he?
Who would be the best player that you've played with? Because Nick Abandonen is yours, isn't he?
Yeah, he's close to it, yeah.
Yeah, who would be?
That's a really good question.
Thanks, full of them.
This is a great podcast.
And who's the worst? Who's the best?
Oh, I'm just trying to...
Come on.
Or who do you learn the most from when you're playing?
Or who's the best?
I'm trying to rack up. I played for a few teams, as you highlighted at the beginning.
Let's talk about top level England.
Okay, for England.
Yeah.
I feel like I need a countdown clock, but...
Who is most inspirational?
I should stay quiet on all these.
Who's the most perspirational?
I think... Maggie, and I really don't want to say it, but Maggie Alfonsi genuinely was so far beyond her time in terms of the way she played the game, the lines that she ran, the physical dominance that she had as a back rower. She changed the face of how we could play as England. I think probably one of the most skillful players and one of the most entertainingly skillful players is Amy Turner, played scrum half for years. She injured at the moment, played for Quinns, had a really awful knee injury that should have stopped her career, but she's been able to come back playing club rugby.
Miss Miyagi clap his hands and fix it. That's what he does.
Yeah, that and a lot of work.
Yeah.
she can do, what's that thing?
Crane.
She can do the crane again.
She's probably one of the most skillful. I think one of my great friends who has achieved a hell of a lot in the game is Rocky Clark. Fantastic girl. Woman.
Don't say girl, please.
Yes, yeah, sorry.
It's 2018, all
right. Bird.
Yeah. Lots. I've been... Probably one of the best players I've played against is a lady called Kelly Brazier. Plays for New Zealand. Fantastic skill set. Real running threat, but also a vision. Yeah.
The whole package. Who would be like one of the funniest then? Because you always get characters.
Heather Fisher sounds good
definitely,
to me.
Yeah, Heather Fisher. She's absolutely...
Bloody pig at your llama.
Brilliant. brilliant player, brilliant friend. Just random as stories.
Yeah.
Marley Packer is definitely up there. Kat Merchant, she played on the wing. Was more we'd laugh at Kat, unfortunately, just the most awkward person.
You always need people
like
that for morale, don't
brilliant.
You?
I love the socially awkward.
Yeah, really socially awkward, and I'd hate to be touched. So I would regularly try and just stroke her face or hold her hand as we were running back from a play, and she just would like literally go like rigor mortis. Like honestly, she's brilliant fun. Yeah.
I love that. Come here, you. Yeah, we used to play Dave Barnes at Bath, used to be like that. So Pete Short, the second row, was so big. He'd walk up behind him in the showers and grab him so he couldn't get him off. He'd say, come here, you. And two naked blokes and Barnsley was like, no. And then whenever the girls, like the wives, if you see Barnsley, there was always a rule that I said to all of them, grab him and kiss him. He doesn't want you to touch him. He hates it. So they'd all grab him and they'd kiss him and hold him. He's like, come here, you. And he used to go, yeah, cheers. Okay, cheers. Thank you. Okay, cheers. He absolutely hated it.
I don't understand why people like that. Just embrace it.
I know, literally. Yeah, literally. Exactly. Shanks, we got to wind this up now.
Yeah, we do.
Because... Shanks is a hugger, yeah.
Always have been.
Nice he hug is. When I arrived.
He's nice, isn't he, like that?
What did you greet me with?
I gave you a kiss and a hug. I'm a nice
It wasn't a handshake.
No, it's a fist pump.
He loves shaking hands. Elbow touch. Yeah. Like, even if he's never met anyone, he just loves coming over the top with his hand and like, nice to meet you.
I'm polite. I've got social skills. Shanks is a weirdo. Like when I arrived today, he went for a fist pump, which I'd have been happy with. He's, oh, sorry, you like to shake hands, don't you? And shook my hand every time. I'm polite and I greet people politely. Have you got another question there, Tom, or are you just texting people on your phone?
No, I was looking through the questions. I think we've gone through a few.
Okay, if there's no gems on there.
There's an interesting one about the Premiership. Bit of club rugby in there.
Yeah.
Have you found it, Tommy?
I'm finding it right now. Well, mate. Does the two-year relegation ban in the Tyrrell's Premier 15 look like a bad idea with the current bottom club being so far below par?
Yeah, it was 3 years, actually. How do you think Lichfield Ladies for 3 years.
Yeah, so do you want to explain that?
So last year, beginning of last year, they put out to tender for clubs to apply to be part of the new Tyrrell's Premier 15s. Yeah. 10 clubs got it. Unfortunately, Lichfield didn't, even though they've been a real stalwart of a club in terms of the progression and development of women's rugby. And they've done a fantastic job, but it was all done... independently done by the RFU that selected them. And there has been there are a couple of teams that haven't really been performing. Worcester have really struggled, but they have got a very, very young side, so it'll be interesting to see how they develop over the 3 years. I personally would love to see a European Cup in the women's game. I think French rugby, I think you could qualify out of the Tyrrell's Premier 15s probably.
Yeah.
Top 4-6 teams. You could have 2-3-4 French teams, Welsh side, Irish. I think that it would be brilliant.
That's the next level, surely.
Yeah.
I think that if they could get the money to back something like that, it would really bring women's rugby to life across Europe.
Yeah.
We're already seeing a lot of players come over to England to play in our Premiership. We've got a big German girl called Nora in our second row.
Have you?
Yeah, she's brilliant. She's specifically come to England to play. We've got a Swedish winger, absolutely electric pace, comes from seven. So, yeah, I think Richmond have got a French player, Gail Mignon, and their ex-captain, Australia. So there's a lot, it's exciting, actually.
Yeah.
Exciting times.
Yeah, European League, European Cup's the way forward, isn't it?
Last question here from Chris Richards.
Last question, Tommy.
Can she write the theme tune and sing the theme tune?
Do you get that?
I'm guessing that's reference you to your surname.
Dennis
Walton was on Little Britain.
Yeah, I remember. Write the theme tune.
But that's is he any relation? Like, we've had another. Is he any relation, Dennis Waterman?
Nice of you. I'm Jim Waterman's daughter. What else
could
you want?
Yeah. You mean Dennis gets asked a lot if he's any relation of Jim?
Yeah.
I think that's the reality of it.
Bath legend.
It's difficult because Matt Perry's my rugby hero and he played fullback and so did your dad. So it's pretty hard for me to acknowledge that there's anyone in the same bracket.
So my dad and I went back to the club for the first time probably about 2 years ago when, was it David Tricky was the president?
Yep.
And we were in there and Matt's dad,
Brendan
played alongside my dad. And so they were all there and they kind of said, finally, Jim, you're the last one of our era to come back. And Matt came in and said, you know, I was a bit like, oh, it's Matt Perry there. Came over to my dad and said, Jim, it's so great to finally meet you. I've been using your peg for years. And it's brilliant. You're the
Jim's peg. It was Jim's peg. Yeah.
So I was pretty impressed. Fair play to the old
nice,
man.
Nice, eh?
Matt Perry probably had red wine all around his lips.
I mean, he was pissed calling him John, but apart from that,
he meant well.
JJ something.
John Winterman, lovely to meet you, John. But
thank you so much for being on Spotless. I'm sorry that my jeans do have a rip in the middle of them.
don't want to look, but I think I might.
That's why I've had to angle myself away from you.
I just thought you needed a wee.
That as well.
It's been a bit
too
awkward.
Many coffees, but
and the animals are. Well, I'm surrounded by animals now. The animals are hopefully not made too
including
much noise
Shanks and I.
Including you and Shanks, yeah.
But thank you so much. This is the first. You're the first female rugby player we've had on.
Woo!
And won't be the last.
You won't be the last at all. But
could I nominate some people? Should
Heather,
I come up?
Heather Fisher, please.
Can she bring
Heather and Marley?
Can she bring a pig round to eat the cat?
She's got a skinhead as well.
So yeah, perfect.
We want Heather to come round so the pig can eat the cat. And the dogs shut them up.
Right, so Fred, thanks Nolly, really enjoyed it.
Oh, it's been amazing, thank you.
Goodbye everyone.